Coming up on KUCB News, the search continues for a missing Unalaska man, and a poll suggests that longtime incumbent Don Young may face a close race for his seat in Congress. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. Unalaskans are still looking for Willie Robinson, an island resident who went missing last week while fishing in Captain's Bay. While police called off their search last Thursday and described the likelihood of finding Robinson alive as very, very slim, his family and friends are hoping to recover his body.
He's a lifetime resident of Unalaska. They won't stop until they see it, don't matter what the outcome is.
Councillor Alejandro Bongtungal made that announcement at last night's city council meeting. He's manager at the Gas & Go, owned by North Pacific Fuel, which has donated gas to help boat owners searching for Robinson in the waters of Captain's Bay and around Little South America.
We urge everybody who got time to help out wherever they can, and we want to thank everybody who put their time and efforts in trying to search.
Acting Police Chief Jennifer Shockley said last week that a dozen or so Unalaskans had volunteered their vessels to help city responders comb more than 20 miles of sea and beach. The U.S. Coast Guard also sent a helicopter to conduct 5 air searches. But despite those efforts and an investigation, Shockley says the exact circumstances of Robinson's disappearance remain a mystery. Police found no signs of foul play or an emergency on the island where he was fishing, so she says it's likely that he went missing after an incident on the water. Unalaskans interested in joining the search can contact Janae at 359-2299 or Katina at 359-1191. The Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association is also offering support to community members who are affected by Robinson's disappearance. You can contact APIA's behavioral health providers at 581-2751. The City Council has certified the results of last week's municipal election, which brought 433 voters to the polls. City Clerk Margie Veder led the canvassing committee.
We had a 21.5% voter turnout, which was lower than last year by about 10%.
Despite that decline, Veder says that this year's turnout was on par with other recent elections featuring only one contested race and no ballot initiatives. She suggested that the 2017 ballot may have prompted higher turnout because it included 3 contested races, as well as a ballot measure to increase sales tax on alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana. This year's quieter election did come to a close last night when city councilors unanimously certified the results and witnessed the swearing-in of re-elected members Sherry Coleman and Bongtungal. The school board is expected to swear in its member-elect, Carlos Tayag, next week. St. Paul Island recently hosted its Bering Sea Days science program, which has taught students in the Pribilof Islands about their environment for more than 10 years. KUCB's Zoe Sobel was also there to teach students about radio and help them interview the visiting scientists. This week, we've been hearing some of those interviews produced by a group of middle and high school students. Here is another of those conversations.
My name is Dave Rosen. I'm a research scientist at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada.
Do you like what you do at work, and what do you like about it?
I like my job a lot, particularly when I get to work directly with the animals.
What kind of animals do you work with?
I work with many different types of marine mammals, but most of the time I work with stellar sea lions and northern fur seals.
Where did you get the animals?
So all of the animals that I work with are held at the Vancouver Aquarium, but they all came from the wild. And the stellar sea lions I work with came off of the coast of British Columbia, but the northern fur seals that I work with came right off of St. Paul Island 10 years ago.
When did you first come to the Pribilof Islands?
The first time I came to the Pribilof Islands was in 2008 when we came up as part of the trip to get the Northern Fur Seals to bring down to Vancouver. But I got the opportunity to come back for Bering Sea Days 3 years ago, and this is my third Bering Sea Days in a row, and I really love coming up to St. Paul Island and working with the kids here.
When did you first get into science?
I grew up in a house where my father was a biologist and my mother was a psychologist, so science was always sort of a thing in my house, but I was never really a science geek. But I knew I always wanted to work with animals and I didn't want to be a veterinarian. So I just kind of fell into science because I wanted to work with animals. And then I started to enjoy the actual science part because it's kind of like being a detective or solving puzzles. And outside of working with animals, that's still my favorite part of the job, is being able to solve a puzzle and try to figure out what's going on or what the numbers mean.
Can you tell us some more about your research?
Well, my research is all designed to use the field of physiology to understand why populations of marine mammals are declining in the wild. So I work with sea lions and fur seals and sea otters and walruses, and all of their populations are going down. And so I study one aspect of their life, which is physiology, how their bodies work and how much food they need, to try to figure out what might have changed in the environment that would cause populations to drop.
Okay, so we're at the wrapping up end of our interview. Is there anything that I missed or anything that you want to talk about?
Well, I'd just like to say that it's great to be invited up here for Bering Sea Days. It's a fantastic project. I think it does a great service teaching you guys about science and how science works. And even if you don't go into science as a profession, it really prepares you to understand how your world works. And that's a great skill to have.
That was marine mammal researcher Dave Rosen speaking with a team of young reporters from the Pribilof School District. They produced that conversation last month as part of the Bering Sea Days science program on St. Paul Island. The Republican Governors Association has paid more than $2.5 million to a group backing Mike Dunleavy's campaign for governor. KTOO's Andrew Kitchiman reports after digging through financial documents for that race.
The Republican Governors Association's contributions were the largest related to the campaign for governor made in the last 8 weeks. That's according to filings with the Alaska Public Offices Commission that were due on Friday. The RGA money has been paying for TV advertising through an Alaska group, Families for Alaska's Future Dunleavy. More than 99% of the group's money has come from the RGA. Both the RGA and Families for Alaska's Future were fined last week for failing to register with the commission before the RGA started buying ads. Families for Alaska's Future and another group backing Dunleavy, Dunleavy for Alaska, have raised more than $3.5 million combined. Those totals are much more than the amounts raised by the group supporting the other candidates. Unite Alaska for Walker Malott has raised just under $1 million, and Begich for Alaska has raised $72,000. These groups are separate from the campaigns for the candidates. Of the candidates, Independent Governor Bill Walker and Lieutenant Governor Byron Malott have raised the most. The Republican Dunleavy and his running mate Kevin Meyer are second, and Democrat Mark Begich and running mate Deborah Call are third. The other major focus of campaign donations is ballot measure 1, the fish habitat protection measure. A group opposing the measure, Stand for Alaska, Vote No on 1, has raised $11.5 million. Yes for Salmon, Yes on 1 has raised much less, $1.3 million. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Meanwhile, a new poll is suggesting that longtime Alaska Congressman Don Young may be in for a tight race further up the ballot. Alaska Survey Research shows that challenger Elise Galvin is within 4 percentage points of the state's lone U.S. House member.
Certainly, Galvin has put herself in position where it's possible that she may win.
That's pollster Ivan Moore. He points out that Galvin may be close, but Young has been winning elections for 45 years.
For someone who's been reelected so many times, Don Young does fairly routinely get himself in fairly
close races, or at least they appear close for a while.
Moore's survey from the first week of October shows that not quite 50% of respondents said that they'd vote for Young, the Republican candidate. 46% of respondents said they'd vote for independent Galvin, even though nearly as many said they did not know who she was. Moore says respondents who don't like Young may have been giving Galvin the benefit of the doubt, but a word of caution, in 2008, a slew of polls, including one by Moore, showed that Ethan Berkowitz was going to beat Young. He didn't, and Moore has a theory about that.
Maybe in polls, people flirt with the idea of dumping Don, but then when it comes to election day, they consider the upsides, his seniority, and so on.
Moore's sample was 500 likely voters reached by cell phone and landline. He conducted the poll as part of a series funded by a group of clients that he says do not include candidates or political parties. A similar survey he conducted in late September showed Galvin was behind then by 11 points. State Election Day is November 6th. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.